Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go out to the winter meeting. Sweeney Murdy, who is there? And the Yankees have made some news you may have heard. Hello, Sweeney.
Sweeney.
How are you guys?
We couldn't be better.
So what do you think? I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. I know 9 years is a lot. It's a lot of money. This is the guy the Yankees needed to remind the world who they are. What do you think?
Yeah, 9 years is a lot. You just can't worry about that part of it right now. You're worrying about the next few years when Gerrit Cole can still be an elite starting pitcher. This is what it costs to get him. The Yankees set their sights at the top of the market. They're rarely wrong. Even when they've missed with guys. When I say missed, I mean guys that they didn't get. They offered more money for Cliff Lee, Greg Maddux that they'd signed. Those are obviously elite guys. When they went for Mike Messina, CC Sabathia, and even an international gamble like Masahiro Tanaka, they've hit well on the really big money. Top of the free agent market pitchers. It's when they're trying to find the guys who are in that ARB eligible type years or a control years, they sometimes swing and miss. They don't miss very often here. And Gerrit Cole's the guy that they had targeted. And much like Cliff Lee, they went out there and put out more money than anybody else. And this time the guy took it.
Yeah, no, definitely took it. There's no doubt. And of course, this is a guy they've been after for years. I mean, they drafted him. And how many, it looks like the third time that they tried to get him, and they finally did, right?
They drafted him in 08. They tried to trade for him with Pittsburgh. Pirates took the Astros offer instead. The Yankees wouldn't include Frazier or Andujar in a deal. Even if they had gotten that done, at some point you'd have gotten to this point where it would have cost you this much to sign the guy anyway. And this thing, you know, Cashman called him his white whale. They've been trying to get him. One important factor, I think, for the Yankees is that they maintained a good relationship with him. When they had drafted him and didn't sign him, there was a little confusion as to how and why that happened, how the Yankees actually were able to take a guy with their first pick in the first round and get to a point where there was some confusion as to whether or not the guy was even going to sign, because they didn't even get to make an offer, and he said, no, I'm going to college, I'm going to UCLA. You know, you don't make that pick if you think that's going to happen. But the Yankees maintained, you know, a level of civility with Gerrit Cole. They, you know, there was no animosity there. They maintained a relationship with him, with his father, Damon Oppenheimer, the Yankees vice president of scouting, who drafted Cole, maintained a good relationship with him throughout UCLA, throughout his professional career, and his family. And obviously the money is what talked here. The money was the money, and that's what gets the deal done. But there was no bad blood, no fences to mend, and no other, you know, outside stories to kind of figure out, does he really want to play here? The Yankees maintained a pretty good relationship with him. And I think it's a small point when you consider that they were able to get to this point.
And now, no matter what happens the rest of the way, they should be the prohibitive favorite to come out of the American League. But there is still some work to be done. They did lose Didi Gregorius last night. But what about Jay Happ? Because right now he's the fifth guy, but he's also making $17 million. Are they going to trade him, and is it going to strictly be a salary dump where they just find a team to take on the rest of his contract?
I think it feels inevitable that they're going to trade him because of the money attached to it and some of the depth that they can acquire, that they have and could acquire for a lot less than $17 per year. I think if and when that happens, I think we will look at it as a salary dump, and they might have to eat some of that money to make that happen. But I don't think they're going to – I don't think there's any great desire for speed in making this deal done. If you remember last year, the day the season ended, they said, yeah, Sonny Gray didn't work out, we're going to trade him. And everybody knew that they were going to trade him, but it still took a while. And the Yankees weren't in any rush to make that happen. They were waiting, you know, they did whatever they needed to do to make the deal, and were fine holding on to him as long as they did. I don't think there's anything wrong with holding on to Jay Happ, because there's always going to be a market for a pitcher. And if you think you're going to have to eat some money to get rid of this guy anyway, I don't think there's any rush to do that. And that could happen a month, a week from now, a month from now, even in the spring. You know how fast injuries happen. Remember, Luis Severino wasn't healthy for most of the year. As good as they feel about him right now, if you go into spring training with an excess of starters, that's not a poor idea either, and you can always deal at some point.
D.D. Gregory is obviously signing with the Phillies 1 year deal. Was there ever thinking about bringing him back, or that wasn't even a thought?
The Yankees never seriously engaged on discussions with Didi, to my knowledge. It was, you know, they had checked in with the agents, but any sort of serious discussion about bringing him back was never part of it. And Didi had a couple of multi-year offers, but in the end, when you look at the deal that he signed, you can understand the reasons behind it, because if you look at 1 year, $14 million, if he comes back and has a good year, Phillies can hit him with a qualifying offer, which essentially, if he wanted to take that, turns us into 2 years of $32 million. So that's kind of the baseline of what he's working off right now. If he has a really good year and can, you know, get himself a multi-year deal next year, obviously the qualifying offer doesn't matter, and you can get it yourself another 3 or 4 year deal for probably more than you could have gotten right now. My understanding was, you know, he probably would have liked to have signed one of these 3 year deals, but the money wasn't as high as the $14 million that he's getting right now per season. So he basically gambled on himself again, as many people have had to do when they're coming off the type of season that he did. And obviously he has a history with Joe Girardi, and he's going to be able to play shortstop there. And we'll see where it takes him in another year. But there was a little bit of short-term financial gain for a larger long-term financial gamble for him.
It's amazing. If I would have told you a year ago, Didi's going to leave the Yankees on a one-year deal, we'd all be like, nah, that's not possible. How could that even happen? But so much has
changed. It was
the
injury. That was all it was. It had nothing to do.
I think it's I think it's Gerrit Cole. Because my point is not that he had to settle for a one-year deal. It's the idea that the Yankees wouldn't really move a lot to bring him back. And I think it's easier for the Yankee fan to digest knowing they got Gerrit Cole. But to lose Didi on a one-year deal, I think, would annoy Yankee fans if Cole wasn't attached to it. So, to me, that's what I think it's about. Is it, how can it not be?
Yeah, I think they had fallback options. You're right. It's all part of the equation here a little bit. But, you know, I think in the end, you're looking at the idea of if they had a year ago, if Didi Gregorius was not, you know, having Tommy John surgery, then he might have been an extension candidate. Because remember, they extended Aaron Hicks and they extended Luis Severino, and they were not as close to free agency. Well, Hicks was, but they at this point, coming off the year that he did, coming off the injury that he did, you know, they had and obviously they had success with DJ LeMahieu. So that's a guy, he's only signed for one more year.
Right.
So if you like what you have from him and you want to extend him for, say, 2 or 3 more years, as Brian Cashman said, he used to tell George Steinbrenner all the time, you can't have everybody, okay? Now you've got Gleyber Torres at cost control. If you're really interested in keeping DJ LeMahieu here beyond one more year, then that's probably where Didi Gregorius' money is going.
Yeah, I just think that, let's say, and obviously it didn't happen, Cole went to Anaheim or went to the Dodgers, whatever, I think that there would be much more uproar from Yankee fans about not keeping Didi on that contract. I think because they got
Cole, sure, but I don't think that would have forced the Yankees to engage on Didi anymore. Sure, they were telling people that they're kind of holding off on the other business, including Brett Gardner, while they were focusing on Cole and trying to get that done. But if last night word comes out that the Angels signed Gerrit Cole, I don't think that the Yankees would have, and Didi hadn't signed yet, I don't think they'd be scrambling to put together a deal for Didi Gregorius.
I think they were
resigned to that fact.
I'm not disputing the facts on that. I guess what I'm disputing is that would have ticked a lot of Yankee fans off and would have looked bad, because I think most Yankee fans wanted the guy back. I think they liked him. I think they saw a guy that was important in the locker room, you'd know better than anybody being there, and also was clutch. Like, he had those Yankee moments. I keep thinking of Game 5, the 2 home runs against Corey Kluber. I think Yankee fans wanted him back. I think it's easier to swallow the pill that he's not coming back because they just landed Gerrit Cole. You know what I mean?
There is an important factor you hit right there. You know, the Yankees have preached the last couple of years, Aaron Boone, about clubhouse culture. And there are three guys that they have talked about that have really helped set that. CC Sabathia, Brett Gardner, and Didi Gregorius are three main cogs in that. Well, as of this moment, all three of them are gone. Brett Gardner has a pretty good chance of coming back. And, you know, I would think now that Cole's done, that might move along a little more swiftly. Maybe even today. We'll find out. But you're talking about trying to establish the new group of leaders, which obviously has to include Aaron Judge now and probably has to include Garrett Cole. You know, you're signing for 9 years and you're signing for that kind of money, and you're the type of pitcher that everybody looks to every 5 days and says, yep, bring it home. We know we can win today. We're going to win today. That kind of attitude, you know, that's leadership and clubhouse presence too, that's going to have to be established. So a little bit of a shuffle right there from what the Yankees have had the last couple of years.
Besides maybe re-signing Gardner, anything else you see the Yankees doing? Any kind of, you know, even mid-level moves? What about that?
By the time, I mean, I think Gardner can move pretty quickly now, as I said, because they've had some talks
right,
with him.
Right.
And I think even, you know, I think everybody kind of understood where really the range that that Gardner could sign at. So we'll see how quickly that could get done. I'm sure they're going to tinker some more. I don't think they're of the mind to bring Austin Romine back, much like Didi Gregorius. I think they've established that they have the ability to cover that at a little less cost and are willing to do so. We'll see if there's any change of mind there now that the Cole business is done and they kind of reestablish their priorities again here. But I always looking for an extra bullpen arm, perhaps. I know they didn't necessarily have Dellin Betances last year, so they're not trying to replace him. You know, you have Ottavino, you have Britton, you have Chapman, but, you know, I think you can always kind of tinker right there. And I'm curious as to see how they handle, now that you know that, you know, you're most likely putting Gleyber Torres at shortstop, it means you have a situation at first base. You know, because remember, DJ LeMahieu was the eventual fallback there when the injuries happened. If he is now your second baseman, you know, you've got some questions about first base because Luke Voit was not healthy all of last season. And you've got to create some sort of fallback or competition there, or, you know, some sort of plan. And, you know, I think obviously Gio Urshela and Miguel Andujar, and how they fit, are part of this. But, yeah, I think there are some of those smaller questions they have to answer. Everything is smaller when you compare it to Garrett Cole, though.
Well, we'll be listening tonight to extended Brooklyn Nets pregame live from the GM meetings. So I expect Kevin Durant. I expect Kyrie Irving on the show, and I'll certainly be listening.
The what?
You're going.
The what? The where?
You're doing a show leading into the Nets game, so I'm joking around with you.
And I'm doing it from the winter meetings, which are in San Diego.
That's right. That's
we
right.
established that because you didn't. You call it the GM meetings.
Oh,
that's a different
right.
thing.
That's
and
right.
Yesterday,
that was
you didn't
ago.
Even know where it was.
Because I'm not there.
So
I'm jealous that I'm not there
so
with
what?
You.
So what? So what? You know where the Nets are playing, even if you're not there. You know where things happen.
All
just,
right.
You know, it doesn't take that much effort to find out where the meetings are.
All right. Thank you, Sweeney. I appreciate it.
See you, Sweeney.
Okay, guys.
Christ,
see you later.
Freaking out about that. Thank you, Sweeney. Oh, my God. I don't think he got sleep last night. I'm sorry. It's the winter meetings,
bro,
and it's in San
bro,
Diego. Pipe down.
You're making a joke about him leading into the net game?
I couldn't even get a chuckle out of him. Oh, my God. I still love you, Sweeney. Well, I don't know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.